Matthew chapter 15. I just can't get over that first song we sang this morning. It's such an introduction to my message, since Jesus came into your heart. Amen? Amen. What we're going to do this morning in Matthew chapter 15 is I'm going to refresh our memory about the first few verses and then read verses 10 through 20. And don't you wonder a little bit about how they used to conduct church back in the times of the apostles when, for example, Paul went out and he started churches all over what's now called Turkey, and then, of course, churches in Italy, and Paul went to Spain at one point in time, and I don't think back in those days, this is before, of course, way before the Catholic Church got started, there weren't a lot of big church buildings. A lot of churches met in houses. And clearly when he talked about the Corinthians, they met on the first day of the week, and the first day of the week is Sunday. Amen. And they gave tithes and offerings, and they sang. We know they sang. When the Lord Jesus Christ had the Last Supper with the apostles, right before they went out, they sang a hymn, and then they went out. That's one of the reasons we sing. And but the center of worship is God, and we find God right here in our Bible.
Amen.
I can see the evidence of God in His creation. Talking to Brother Mike back there about the coronavirus, and I don't know if you've heard the news. This is virus number 19. They've already found 18 others. This is the 19th one they have found. And you look at the amazing, how complex it is, the microorganisms and the way they attack your body and so on. Folks, when you look at how complex our body is, you got to believe in creation. You look at your hand and the joints your eye or your ear, and you look at all the little details there. That's the hand of God at work, creating us. And the Bible says that it's a fool that says in his heart, by the way, there is no God. Because when you look at the creation, you got to see a creator. But he is a creator who didn't just create us. And then there are people, they're called deists, that believe that he created us and then he just forgot about us. No, he didn't forget about us. He sent his son to come and live among us. And then even though men rejected him, he willingly went to the cross and died to pay for our sins.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And because of that, we can have eternal life. Now, it's not an easy message this morning because when I think about this subject of the heart, I realize we have some bad things in our heart.
Yeah.
But if the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our heart, He's cleaning us up. Amen?
Amen?
So let me remind you a little bit about what happened before I have you stand. We want to just, if you got your Bibles there and look at Matthew chapter 15, what's happened in the first nine verses is that the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're from Jerusalem, but they came up north. They're looking for trouble. It wasn't enough that they'd stay in Jerusalem and cause trouble. They've come to harass Jesus and his disciples, and they've traveled up north, and they are specifically concerned about something in verse 2, which is that when the disciples ate bread, they did not do a ceremonial washing of their hands first. And that was just the most terrible thing they could think of, that somebody would not wash their hands properly before they ate bread. Now, I want you to know something. It's good to wash your hands. Amen?
Amen.
But whether you wash your hands when you eat or you don't wash your hands when you eat, it might make you get sick if you don't wash your hands. It's not what's going to send you to hell. That is not what the Bible worries about when we talk about sin. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But that was the Pharisees' concern. Why don't these men wash their hands before they eat? Now, isn't that just like religion? A lot of religion today is about appearances, isn't it? In other words, people are worried about how things look on the outside. Baptism, for example. Baptism is an outward act. It's something you can see. attending church. While I believe we should be in church, it's not something that's going to save you. What you need, if you're going to deal with what he uses the word defile here, what causes us to be sinners, is not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. So he condemns the Pharisees. Jesus condemns the Pharisees. In fact, he says that what they're doing is they're taking their traditions and substituting tradition for the commandments of God. And that's an interesting thought as well, because today there are a lot of churches that do things because that's the way they do them. And folks, we ought to do things because that's the way the Bible does it. Amen? And we ought to believe the Bible, and we ought to practice the Bible. And when we go out and we talk to folks, we ought to give them not what we think, but what the Bible says. Amen. So as you come to church and you sit here today, what we want to do is we want to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. And I'll do the best I can to be a kind of a conduit, if you will, and to explain that to you. But isn't it great to just come and listen to Jesus for a little bit? Yes, so with that, the disciples, after the Pharisees have disappeared, Jesus calls the multitude. He's not ashamed of his doctrine. Amen. And he calls the multitude to explain something to them that we're going to see today. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll see what Jesus has to say to the multitude. If it's good for the multitude, it must be good for us. Amen? He says, hear and understand, so he must want us to know what it means. Matthew chapter 5, I'll read out loud as you follow along silently, beginning in verse 10. Matthew 15, if I said 5, turn to 15. Matthew 15, verse 10. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. That's interesting. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you that the Bible teaches us so clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to come into our heart and to live in us and to change us and to make us like him. We realize it's not an instantaneous process, but we realize it is something that will happen to every born-again believer, that Romans 8 says that they will be made like the image of Christ. God, I thank you today for each one that is here. What a blessing it is to come to this place. We won't be long. We won't be disturbed. We can just for a few moments listen to what you had to say to the disciples and understand it a little bit better and then apply it to our life. And Lord, help us to remember this morning that you've given us the ability to examine our own heart and to see what's there. Lord, we understand that most of the people in the room, perhaps each one, we don't know for sure, but most of the people in this room have received Christ as Savior. But if there's someone here that does not know for sure that Christ lives in their heart, today they could invite him in. Amen. And they could receive him as their Savior. And they could do that simply by believing that he died on the cross to pay for their sins and calling upon him to forgive them. Please bless, please give us wisdom where wisdom is lacking and knowledge where knowledge is lacking and understanding. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Kind of a sad story in a way, but it's a good illustration to begin with. About I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe. My mother-in-law was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and her and my father-in-law, and he's the man we just went to celebrate his 90th birthday last weekend. But they used to live in San Antonio, Texas, in a really nice little house they had built up north of San Antonio. And they had built the house. They lived there for a number of years. My family's visited there numerous times. But when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, as she began to get worse and worse, the decision was made that they had to move someplace else and sell the house because they just couldn't take care of her and all the responsibilities that went along with that house. And so we actually lived in Maryland at the time, and we flew. Well, maybe we've even drove, I can't remember. I think we did drive for some other reason. We drove from Maryland all the way to Texas, to San Antonio, and spent several days there helping them box everything up. And most of what they were doing was they were going to sell a lot of their belongings because they just couldn't keep them. They didn't have any place to put them, and they didn't need them anymore. And so I remember we were working in the garage on Saturday afternoon, and my father-in-law, you can imagine the setting. It's an amazing thing. You're watching people box up your life. You think about the things that you own, the memorabilia that you have in your house. Maybe some of it's on the wall. Maybe some of it is just in storage in your garage or whatever. But there's a lot of things there that are just remembrances of what your life was. And so he's watching as his family is literally boxing up his life, and his hope for his retirement was that he would stay there in that house and that he would spend as many happy years there as he could. And then the Alzheimer's that came to my mother-in-law just destroyed all of that. And I've got a picture of him sitting on his sofa on that weekend, and it's the saddest face just to think, this is the end. This is the end. Now, you got to remember, my father-in-law doesn't know Christ as his Savior. And folks, if you don't know Christ, then this life's all you get. And when people are boxing things up to haul them off, that's the end. You're not going to ever see them again. I have a few things in my house I'm kind of fond of, but nothing I wouldn't think is going to be replaced by something much better in heaven. Amen? I think when you get to heaven, you're going to think, why was I so worried about some of those things I had down there? But the thought that came to my mind was, as we were boxing all these things up, my mother-in-law, who had Alzheimer's, was out in the garage, and we would take an old pair of shoes, for example, and we would say, these got to go. And maybe they'd go into a trash can, or maybe they'd go into the stuff we were going to sell. And so my mother-in-law, she's watching all this, and she's not... her Alzheimer's has affected her enough that she's not really quite sure what all's going on. So we'd put the shoes in the trash can, she'd take them out. You know, we'd put the picture in the box, she'd take it out. So finally, I think we took turns kind of keeping her occupied while we tried to pack everything up, because there were some things she didn't want to get rid of. And to her, what are you doing? You're putting away my things. I don't want my things put away. I like my things, and I want to keep them where I can get to them. Now watch this. When Jesus died to pay for our sins, and when he rose again the third day, he ascended into heaven, but he said, like I told you earlier, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And the Bible says if we will call upon him, and it's a matter of believing. First of all, it's not a matter of what you do, it's a matter of what you believe. Because we've all sinned. I don't care how good you are, we've sinned. And when we understand that we are a sinner, that we have broken the laws of a righteous God, and when we then in turn go and ask that God to save us for our sins, he will save us, and the Spirit of God will come live in our heart. And in our heart, the Spirit of God is going to begin to clean things up. He's going to throw some things away. He's going to take some things that are in our heart and discard them because they don't belong there. And what we got to do is leave it in the trash can. You look at this passage and you ask yourself, how do you apply this? And There are two or three, and I'll explain it to you in just a minute. There's two or three simple applications of it. And first of all, it's this. If you're not saved, if Jesus doesn't live in your heart, then all sorts of garbage is going to collect there. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about how it gets there. It just talks about what happens once it is there. I will tell you this. The Bible says that we are born with a sin nature. You know, just like a dog has a nature to eat bones, we have a nature to sin. We are born that way, and then we have chosen to sin. Somewhere along the way, we chose to steal. We chose to lie. We chose to be wicked somehow. And you can't blame that on God. You say, well, God created me this way. No, He created you with a free will, and you have a choice. When you ask Jesus to save you, and He comes into your heart, then He would like to begin to clean some things up. The passage for the saved person would remind us, let the Lord have His will in your heart. Amen. The passage for the lost person would remind us, you can see whether or not Jesus is in your heart by the kind of things that are coming out of your life. And let me show you some of this here. We won't take very long. I'll try to apply that just a little bit. Look again, if you will, in chapter 15 and verse 10. Now, the Pharisees are being rebuked in public here. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ just tells the truth. Amen. In fact, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Amen. I worry when someone says, we have the Holy Spirit, and then they teach a bunch of lies. I'm thinking, well, if you have the Holy Spirit, why are you teaching lies? Amen. Someone says, you know, I have the Holy Spirit, and unless you have done certain things, unless you've been baptized, you're not saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Spirit of truth does not teach that. So then I got to wonder what spirit is teaching them, because it can't be the Holy Spirit, can it? And the Bible talks about doctrines of devils. Jesus wants everybody to know the truth, and it's not deep. It's just plain old Bible, something that you can understand. He says He called the multitude, and He said, hear and understand. And then the principle is in verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And so then He's going to have to explain that to them. And let's drop down, if you would, to verse 18. He says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Let's talk about that word defile just a little bit. The word defile in the Bible means to make something unholy, to make something common is another word, because commonly people are unholy. But it basically means sin. And when something is defiled, it is dirty, or it's sinful, or it's unholy. And He says it's those things that come out of the mouth that came from the heart that defile the man. And so verse 19 says the real question is, what is in your heart? Out of the heart. And then He talks about the things that come from there. The heart is the issue. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, don't turn, let me read it to you, says this, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. You know, I can look out and I can see people, and I have limited vision. I can see what's on the outside. I can see whether there's a smile on your face. I can see maybe whether you're listening or whether you're not listening, or if you're reading your Bible or not, or I can see whether you're here in church today. I can see a lot of things on the outside, but I can't see in your heart. And aren't you kind of glad we can't see what's in each other's hearts? You know, we ought to have a clean heart. But sometimes there's some things in our heart that we wouldn't want anybody to see. Well, God sees them. God sees what's in our heart. And that's one of the reasons He sent Jesus to die for us, because He knows our heart needs to be cleaned up. He knows something needs to be done about that. My heart needs to be cleaned up. And it's not an instantaneous process. Now, I will tell you, when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, it's going to change some things right away. But then there are some things that take a while. And I'll tell you this, if Jesus comes into your heart, the Bible says He'll never leave. Amen. Amen. And so something's going to change. If you've ever bought a house or rented a house and you walk in and you take the tour, We sold a house one time in Texas. I don't know what possessed us, but in this one bedroom, it was my daughter's bedroom, we had the paint code was R15, which is basically pink as pink can get. And I mean, it was pink. I'm looking at a couple of ladies here that have pink. No, it was pink. And so the realtor, when he was walking through the house, and he's looking at all the things that need to be done to the house to get it ready to sell, he walks into this bedroom and he says, "You got to paint this. This is not going to work. No one's going to buy a house with a bedroom this pink." The Holy Spirit, when he comes into our life, he says, "There's some things that got to change." Amen? Amen? Now, it's not all going to happen just like that, but he's going to deal with us. Amen? And you've read lots of things, seen lots of things. Aren't you glad? You and I, if we're saved, we're a work in progress. Now, I will tell you this. The minute Jesus comes back, we sang the song, "Until Then." What great songs today. Really beautiful music. When Jesus comes back, it's all going to be finished in a moment of time. The Bible calls it in twinkling of an eye. But between here and your resurrection, or between here and your rapture, until Jesus comes and takes you, he's working in your heart. And there's some things he wants to change. So the principle there in verse 11 is, it's the things that come from the heart, verse 11 and verse 18 and 19, that cause the problem. Now, I'm going to kind of skip over verses 12 through 14, just explain one thing to you, and that is this. You may get worried sometimes, it bothers me, that there's so many false teachers out there. That's hard enough. We went out yesterday to try to invite some folks out to church. It's hard enough to talk to people about the Lord without having had the Jehovah's Witnesses there last week, or the Mormons there last week, or I went to a house one time many years ago over here in Bullhead City. We were knocking doors, and the fellow knocked on the door, and we could kind of see through the house, and the screen door was closed, but the main door was open, and he yells out, and he says, "I told you Mormons to get off my porch." I can't pass this up. And I said, "I'm not a Mormon, I'm a Baptist." "Oh, come in," he said. It's hard enough to reach people, but then there's all this false teaching out there. And then today, every time you turn around, some pastor is, or somebody who calls themselves a pastor, is being convicted of child abuse or some kind of thing like that. I'm starting to hate to tell people I'm a pastor. I'm glad I'm a pastor, but I sure hate the way that they're starting to look. Amen? That none of that is going to bother God. He's going to take care of all that real quick. And here's what he says about that. He says, you know what? If God didn't plant it, it's coming up. You got those weeds in your yard, and I love it. Tomorrow it's supposed to rain a little bit, and ground will be soft. I can go out there, and I can take one of those big old weeds, if I can reach down that far, and I can pull that thing up, roots and all, and throw it over the fence, not my neighbor's fence, the back fence. And it's gone. God's going to root things up. Amen?
Amen.
Are we going to remain is the question. If you got things right, hope you do. Hope your salvation's Bible salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Hope it's not just an appearance thing. All right, we got to go fast. We're running out of time. So then he says to him, Peter says in verse 15, he says, "Declare unto us this parable." All right, now stay with me. Okay, listen. I want to ask you a question. I've been pondering this a lot lately. Do you walk with God? Do you and I walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? I can't help but go back and see what the Bible has to say about it. And I think about the disciples. And I know this, that the disciples, when they walked with Jesus, they talked to him. And they asked him questions. You ever get stumped? You don't know what to do? Or you ever read the Bible, and it happens, it's going to happen. You read the Bible and you think, what does that mean?
Right.
You know who knows the answer? Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever stopped and just asked God? I got a promise for you in James. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, that's all of us. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
Amen?
Amen. I like Peter. He didn't mind asking questions. And he asked the question plainly. He said, Lord, I don't understand. Explain this to me. I would encourage you to do that if you don't know what something means. If you don't know what to do, if you're in a situation, what's wrong with asking God? We say we walk with him. Don't we expect him to talk to us and lead us? Amen? And he will. And not because we're perfect, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. So Peter asks, and Jesus doesn't miss a beat. He says, don't you understand? He says in verse 17, whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth out the belly and is cast into the draught. He says, you eat it, it goes through your body, and that's the end of that. And by the way, that body that God designed can deal with some impure things and take care of them. And praise the Lord. But he says in verse 18, it's what comes out of the mouth. It comes forth from the heart. You know, that was the problem from the very beginning. Again, don't turn there, but do you remember what God said right before he destroyed the earth with the flood? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Listen to this. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Folks, the heart has been the problem all along. That's why God flooded the world, is because of the imaginations. Now, the title of the message is, what's in your heart? And the question is, how can you tell? And the answer is really obvious right here. First of all, what do you think about? That's what's in your heart. He says in verse 19, look with me if you will, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Now, I got to tell you something. There is a source for those evil thoughts. And it comes from two things, what you see and what you hear. The Bible talks about those two senses. In fact, it says in Peter, talking about the days way back in Genesis when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that that righteous man, or that, I think it uses the word just, but anyway, that righteous man, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. I want you to know something. Lot's going to be in heaven. He sure doesn't have any rewards from this life that we can see. Why? Because of what he saw and what he heard. Reminds me of a thing called television, internet. The things we see affect what we say and what we think, don't they? And you got to be careful. Because what goes in is going to produce a result. It's going to come back out. Amen. He says, evil thoughts are one evidence of what's in the heart. I'll just say it. Whatever it is that owns your mind is a good evidence of what's in your heart. Now, I'm not going to tell you that a Christian can't have evil thoughts, but I will tell you this. A Christian is going to have some conviction about that. I do evil things and I say evil things and then the Holy Spirit reminds me, I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad about it. And I ask God to forgive me for it. And I ask others to forgive me for it. And that's just who I am. I can't help that. I'm a sinner. Genesis 6:5, God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Folks, what you think about is what's in your heart. Do you spend time thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know how you can do that? I'll give you an idea. Memorize Scripture. Just read Scripture. Spend time in the Bible. It'll change the way you think. Amen, Brother Mendez? Amen. It's called a daily devotion. Okay, real quick. I'm out of time. Secondly, and we've already seen it over and over again. He says in verse 11, that which cometh out of the mouth. He says again in verse 19, that, or out of verse 18, he says that those things that proceed forth out of the mouth come forth from the heart. What do you talk about? That's a good indication of what's in your heart. Luke 6:45 and Matthew 12:34 say, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, we like to talk about the things we love, don't we? Amen. We were together last weekend with family. And one of the great things about family is you have all these common experiences that go way back. And before you know it, you just tell story after story after story of good times that you had and Christmases and vacations and those kind of things. We like to talk about the things we love, don't we? What do you talk about? That's what's in your heart. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart, you're going to want to talk about him.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed to talk about him, are you?
Amen?
Amen. We at work, for example, when you're at work, there are some people that if you just walk up to somebody like a bull in a china shop and say, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved, that may not be the best way to approach things. But if you start letting folks know that you're a Christian, that's a good place to start.
Amen.
Let them know you're a Christian. And then when the opportunity arises, do something, say something to show them that your Christianity means business. Tim and I have been working at this place over here in Scrapyard over here on I-10 and 27th Avenue. And two or three of those guys started calling me pastor. They know I'm a pastor. I did not tell them, you're supposed to call me pastor. But somewhere along the way, they caught on to the fact that I know God and that I serve God as a pastor in a church. And there's this one guy, Tim knows him, his name's Hannah. And he prayed that he'd come to the Joe Mark meetings, by the way. I've invited him and he might come. And he comes to me and says, hey, pastor, hey, I got a question about the Bible. And he knows just because I said some things to him. Folks, let folks know you're a Christian. Amen? And I love talking about the Lord. I love telling people the truth. I love telling people about the Bible. I don't mind a bit, especially when they're interested in hearing. What's in your heart? Well, it's what you think about. It's what you talk about. And then real quick, and we're done, it's what you're willing to do. I hear stories about Christians. I hear stories about pastors. I hear stories about things that they've done. I hear stories about our young people. Ooh. What are you willing to do? You know, sooner or later, you'll do it. There are some things I don't know how people can do them. I don't understand. It does not register in my mind how someone can abuse a child. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Why would they want to? Why would they be willing to? Why wouldn't they run screaming the other direction instead of, I can't understand that. I don't understand how people can do that. But I guess it depends on what's in your heart. There are some things I could never do because Jesus lives in my heart. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to steal? It might be. You willing to lie? You willing to cheat on your taxes? You willing to hurt other Christians so that you can be advanced? I've seen Christians do all those things. I'm not saying you're not saved, but it sure doesn't look good when someone's heart keeps producing sin and doesn't produce righteousness. And the Bible says we should examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Be very careful. I have no doubt in my mind, the Bible tells the story, that there will be people that stand before Jesus and they're going to say, hey, look at all the things we did. We thought we were saved. And he says this, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If he lives in your heart, you will. Amen. This is serious business. Look how he finishes. We're out of time. He says in verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. I can't understand how someone could murder, but people do. Adulteries, there's another one. I'm perplexed. Fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Blasphemy. How can anyone blaspheme their Savior? How can anyone insult the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not going to name her, but there's this comedian that is rather well known. And recently she was receiving an award and she mocked Christ. In fact, she said something rather insulting, very insulting. I would not want to be in her shoes. I can't even imagine saying something like that. But a lost person that doesn't have Christ in their heart, they can do some pretty wicked things, as we've seen. Now he says, those are things that come out of the heart. Those are the things that defile a man, not eating with unwashed hands. Read you two verses and we're done. He says in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then Galatians 4:6 says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit into your hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart if you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
two things and I'm done. First of all, if you do not know that Jesus lives in your heart, now I got to believe this. If he's there, you should see some evidence. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't know that, say, Pastor, what should I do? Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth the way the Bible says it, okay? The Bible says, that talks about anybody, that hath the Son of God in their heart, has life.
Amen.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He's not talking about the life walking around in this earth. He's talking about eternal life.
Right.
If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have eternal life. Wow, that feels good, doesn't it? If you don't know that, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you from finding out what to do. We want to take a Bible and show you what to do.
Amen.
We'll make it as easy as we can. We'll do it in a private place. It won't take long. We'll do it right now. We've got counseling rooms over here, and you can sit down in there with somebody that can take a Bible and show you how you can know.
Amen.
I think of all the things I'd like to know, where I'm going to spend eternity is number one on the list. Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? And the Bible says those are the two choices.
Right.
I'd like to know that for sure. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I pray he would speak to you and explain to you in his words how you need to know today.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, let the Lord clean your heart out. Don't go in the trash can and pull it back out. When the Holy Spirit tries to take things away, let him have them. And then, I'm just telling you, we're putting stuff in our heart all the time. In seeing and hearing, be careful what you see and be careful what you hear, because that's feeding your heart as well. I'm afraid some Christians, the Holy Spirit's got a full-time job just trying to clean stuff out of their heart.
Amen.
It'd be better to stay away from that stuff, amen? Young people, your friends are going to try and capture your heart.
Right.
And here's how they're going to do it. They're going to say, oh, be one of us. Oh, you could be part of this special group. We are going to be your friends. We're going to support you. We're going to be there for you like nobody, not like your family, not like anybody. We'll be there for you. Just join up with us. The Bible in Proverbs chapter 1 says, be careful who you consent with. Make sure your friends are righteous and not wicked. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.